But I agree with that. And God, I would definitely applaud the fact that God is so good. He has been good in my life. Even when I have not been good to Him, let's be honest. Well, today is Mother's Day, if you had not picked up on that by now. And so, you know, when you arrive at a day like this, do you continue preaching with what's been on your mind? Do you address Mother's Day in particular? You know, it's one of those things you think about. And I think it's always interesting that I've been spending some time in the Old Testament, and when they both come together, a Mother's Day message and spending time in the Old Testament. And so sometimes, you know, God speaks to us and shares with us, and you're like, oh, that was pretty obvious. I think sometimes God goes, yeah, I'm trying to be obvious. If you just do a better job of listening. But we're going to look at 2 Kings today. All right. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading. I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 4. It's in your bulletin there. But a little bit of background. Let me tell you where we're at here in 2 Kings, because I'm sure all of you spent all week in 2 Kings, didn't you? It's a book of the Bible we spend a lot of time in. Probably not. Probably not. But in this particular part of the scripture, you know, one of the things that we have to understand, when we read scripture, scripture's written in a many different forms. There's history, there's poetry, there's direction, there's commandments. We see a lot of different ways that scripture is written. And so I wanted you to understand that 2 Kings is written more in a historic narrative. That's what we find here. And what you find is it's the record of the different monarchs and each succession plan that took place. You find the failings of the people going on. You find the failing of leaders. Even so much so that you find that the kingdom was divided into northern and southern territories. And so that's kind of where we're at. One of the things that I think is interesting is just this little book of 2 Kings actually covers a time frame. If you look on a time scale, there's 30 different kingdoms or monarchs, if you will, that are covered in the book of 2 Kings. But we're going to look at one in particular. We're going to look at a time period where Elisha is the prophet. Okay? He is the prophet of the people. What we need to understand is what happened just before chapter 4. Well, a couple books before. What we know as chapter 2. Chapter 2 is where Elijah, remember Elijah? He was taken up in a whirlwind, as you see in Scripture. He was taken up with chariots and horses of fire. And when this happened, Elijah's cloak fell upon Elisha. And so this is where we're at. I just wanted to give you a little background of where we're at. And in particular, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 today, we're going to look at one of the miracles that occurred with a mother. A miracle that happened in provision of a mother. And so I'm going to read for you 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 8. And this particular version is the King James that I'm reading here to you. So yours may differ a little. God's word says this. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thou servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And then thou art come in, and thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, This is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to be really honest with you. Some of you probably grew up with the King James, and you read that plain as day, right? I am not one of those people. And I specifically read that because I got to tell you, this is a part of Scripture that when I read the King James, it confuses me. Just being honest. And so what I want to do is I want to reread this to you. And I've shared with you in the past, there are all kinds of translations of the Bible. And one of the things I would say to you is pray, read, and read the version where God speaks to you. Okay? Now, I've also shared, I'm not a big fan of the Message. Just not. It's my preference. Nothing wrong with it. Just my preference. But I'm going to read to you this same scripture from the Message. Because it is one of those times where I read it and went, oh, got it now. Got it now. Because I'm not sure about you. You probably saw as I greeted you and did announcements at the beginning, I do not speak the King's English. Thou's and thou'st and all of that gets lost in my head. And so I want to reread this to you. And I'm going to read it, and I think we're going to have it on the screen for you from the Message. God's word says this. One day the wife of a man from the guild of prophets called out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God. And now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my children as slaves." Elisha said, "I wonder how I can be of help. Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing," she said. "Well, I do have a little oil." "Here's what you do," said Elisha. "Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all of your neighbors. And not just a few, all that you can get. Then come home, lock the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into each container. When each is full, set it aside." When she did what he said, she locked the door behind her and her sons. As they brought the containers to her, she filled them. When all of the jugs and the bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, "Another jug, please." He said, "That's it. There are no more jugs." And then the oil stopped. And she went and told the story to the man of God. He said, "Go sell the oil and make good on your debts. Live both you and your sons on what is left." I got to tell you, when I read that, it kind of comes to life for me a little bit more. And I wanted to read it on purpose to help you understand. And one of the things I think that we need to understand about this miracle is we're talking about jugs. Containers, probably not too unlike these. This is a clay one. This is a wooden one. It was probably wooden, just so you know. She had one container of oil. Maybe it was even this one. This one holds a little bit less, but this is all she had. And she went and collected every vessel with her sons that they could find in their neighborhood. That's the up and down the streets. And she was able to fill every single jug, let's just say from this one. I think that's a miracle. Where God intervened through a prophet and met the needs of the people when no answer seemed available. I'll be honest with you, as I studied this week, and it was yesterday actually, I was sitting reading, and it kind of reminded me of Jesus' first miracle. Remember what it was? At the wedding of Cana? They ran out of wine. He said, "Fill the jugs with water," and he turned it to wine. He supplied their needs from something that seemed like was impossible to supply. So I want you to do something today. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the widowed mom. Now, for you guys, that might be a little more difficult. But put yourself in the mind of her. Your husband has just died, and you are left with an unsurmountable debt to pay. Understand cultural context here. Remember what I've shared with you. Again, these are not my words. Don't get mad at me. But women in this culture did not hold the same position as men. Okay? So for her husband to die and be left with this debt, how do I get out of this? This was not a day where you could go and be employed like women are today. Please understand that. And so the cultural context of this. So in hopes to raise enough money to pay her debt, these debts off from her husband, she would, in essence, have to liquidate, to use one of our terms today, I use a business term, to liquidate everything she could to raise enough money to pay off this debt. And what seems to be a useless jar of oil is the very thing that's used to do this. Imagine not being able to pay that debt. And the fact that you knew that they were going to come and take your sons and put them into slavery to pay off that debt. All of you that are moms, think about that. Can you imagine someone coming because you couldn't make your house payment or your car payment or your loan payment? And they're like, okay, no problem. We're going to take your kids. We're going to put them in slavery to pay off your debt. I'm sure none of you would be real happy about that. I can't even fathom the idea. My two boys having to be put into that situation. So what does she do? She goes and talks to Elisha, hoping that there is something that he can do. But his hands are kind of tied, to be honest. Elisha, firstly, you know, says, "What is it you would have me do?" Elisha asks her a question that will forever change her life. And it's a question, quite honestly, that could change your life. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? You know, that question can span all of time, not just of the day of the widow, but to today. And it's very relevant for us now. You know, especially kind of on this Mother's Day. It's relevant. What would it take to pay off all your debt and save your children from becoming slaves? What do you have? And so as we kind of embark and we unfold this scripture this morning, remember that miracle stories exist to teach us a lesson. This story is a bona fide miracle. It's a miracle that happens through the prophet Elisha. And I put on the front of your bulletin this morning, mama's oil. Now, that's kind of more of a southern term. Some of you from, well, further south would probably refer to your mom as mama, right? And so I just wanted to use that term. It's not exactly the term I would use. But mama's oil is what they have. And the point of the text is that a mother was able to save her children and provide for their future and bless their community. You know, it must be noted that the legacy that was put forth here was from Mama's house. How true for us today. The legacy that we have that's put forth from Mama's house. The oil was in the house and she knew where it was. The message behind this miracle begins to unfold when Elisha poses the question to her. And so she knew what it was. And so if you're unfamiliar with this text, this oil would have been the oil from her husband. Her husband was a priest and would have worked under Elisha. All right? So this oil, it's not just something you throw in the frying pan. This is special oil. And so Elisha tells her, go back and take this oil. Go back and close the door. Take your children with you. And on this Mother's Day, I think about what he's trying to say here. What he's trying to tell her, you already possess what you need to fulfill your debts and to take care of your entire life. And it is a heritage. It is what you already own in your house. This holy anointing oil that you have possession of because of your position of your husband. And so I think about that a little bit. You know, I want to tell you one other thing too. If you're unfamiliar with the culture at that time, with her husband being a priest, they would have lived in a community of other priests and prophets, okay? And so for her to go up and down the street to get jars, to get containers, to get vessels, is actually a very important point that some would miss. Because they weren't just empty things. It wasn't like they just, hey, go get me a jug so I can pour some more in. They weren't just plain vessels. They actually would have had a purpose. And so the beauty of this story is really that the oil and what she possesses is more than enough to take care of her needs. And this is where the application comes from. Sitting in a room like this, we have people that have come from all sorts of backgrounds. There are people in this room that I have a feeling the thought of mom may not be a good one. Right? Maybe you had a rough upbringing. And so maybe Mother's Day is rough. Because maybe mom was just mean. But many have a mother that was a true blessing. A woman of God who imparted God's wisdom and knowledge into your life. I think even if you're from the first group, you understand the heritage that is given through a mother and what is available in the house. And so I really wanted to look at this part of the scripture where he said, go to your house and close the door. Close the door behind you and your sons and fill these vessels. This becomes more than the fact that they took a container and were to pour oil into other vessels and continue pouring and continue pouring and continue pouring. The miracle that is. But I think the true lesson here on this Mother's Day is the heritage and what is provided into your house through a mother. Because as I read this story, this is kind of what I see taking place. They close the door so no one can see what's going on in the house. We do that today, right? We're pretty good about that because we drive into our garages and close the garage and nobody sees what goes on, right? But she goes in and closes the door. And she says, bring me a jug. Bring me a vessel. And they began pouring. And so I just wanted to get you to think a little bit of what probably played out in that house. Do you think mom just said, hey, bring me jars. Come on, mom. You know, bring mama some jars. Let's get this done. Let's fill this up. Elisha said we got to do this. I don't think so. I think heritage played out here. I think what happened was the boys would bring vessels and mama would tell a story. Mama would tell a story. Mom might even have the son come up and as they're pouring, put her arm around him. Love him. As she's pouring into a jar. Can you picture that? Maybe you know that story. Maybe you had a mom that just, I think about maybe one of the boys was obviously older, one of them's younger. So I think about a young boy. Maybe mom even got down on her knee. Put her arm. Kind of brought him in close. Pouring oil. Showing love. Telling stories. Pouring in to not just a vessel, but pouring into a child. And the heritage that takes place there. The things that went on. The teachings. You know, sometimes as adults, we do things and we go, we make statements like, oh my goodness, I'm turning into my mother. Anybody ever say that statement besides me? I'm turning into my mother. You say something, you go, oh, my mom like show up all of a sudden? That came out of my mouth. Oh no. That happens because mom's pouring into your life behind closed doors. She's pouring a legacy into your life. You know, I have to laugh a little bit. My mother-in-law was here this morning, and I'm glad that she is. As I was writing this message, I didn't know she was going to be here. But it reminded me, and I wanted to share a story that's very much like that. She poured into my boy's life. My boys loved going to Grandma and Grandpa's because they would do fun stuff, right, that Mom and Dad didn't have time to do. I figured I'd get a laugh out of that, at least a little bit. And she loved them, and she poured into them, and she just shared life with them. You know, sometimes Mom and Dad have rules. You know, this is a funny thing about grandmas. I'm just kind of curious by a show of hands how many of you would agree with this statement. When you were growing up as a child, you had a different set of rules than the grandsons have. Anybody ever notice that? Or is that just something I've noticed? They're able to get away with a few more things that we're not allowed to get away with. But she's just pouring into them. Pouring into them. And I think about this story, this mama's oil, and how important that is. And how important for you mothers today. Because here's what I'm going to say. If you do this, please keep doing it. If you don't do this, please start. First, I hope that every mother here knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I hope you know the Word of God. I hope you live out the Word of God. And if you do, pour out into the very vessels that are in your house. When you go behind closed doors, pour as God supplies. Pour as God continues to supply more than your pitcher can ever hold. Pour into those young vessels the truth of Christ. Pour into them, and it will change their life forever. They will have more than they will ever need. They will receive more, they will receive abundantly more than they could ever hope for. And so the message of this widow's oil, this mama's oil, is for us to pour that legacy and that heritage of what we know in the Word. God will supply us more as parents, and this is, I'm going to expand beyond moms today. God will supply to you more than you think you know, more than you think you're capable of doing. Because when you are in relationship with Him, and you are in His Word, and you are drawing close to Him, He will supply more than this simple vessel or this simple vessel or this simple vessel can hold. Much like this oil in this jug. So my hope is today, this lesson out of 2 Kings. This widow who thought everything was going to come crashing down. And in our world that we live in today, let's be honest. We have days that feel that way. We have days we feel like the world is just crashing in. Right? And we can't pay the bills, and we don't know how the next meal's, where it's going to come from. How is this ever going to work out? And I got to tell you, just because you're a believer doesn't mean it's going to always be easy. But God will supply. I've seen it too many times in my own life. Drawing close to Him, and time after time where I could just stay here, I could keep you for another hour. How many is up for that? Telling you stories. A couple of you are up for that. A couple of you are like, nope, dinner is cooking and it's going to burn if you're another hour. And if you keep me another hour, mama's going to be mad, right? But I've seen too many times where God has provided where I knew there wasn't a way out. Pour into your children. He will supply more than your little pitcher could ever hold. But draw close to Him. Know His word. I want to close in prayer today. I want to close in prayer for those of you that would say, my walk with the Lord is strong and I'm grateful for it. Keep on going. Keep on going. Be encouraged. For those of you that are like, oh, I just struggle right now and I don't feel like I'm close to God. You have the ability to change that. It's really not that hard. Open His word. You want to know how to draw close to God? You want to know how to hear from God? Please understand, it's not that hard. It's this right here. Open this. Open this. And when you don't understand what it says, find a different translation. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to understand. We have way too much technology today for us not to understand God's word. If you're like me and don't understand the King's English, find something that, you know, I hate to tell you this. There's a couple moms that might go, oh, please don't say that. There's actually a hip-hop Bible. So, you know, if you need the hip-hop Bible, go get one, you know. There's a surfer's Bible. If you need a surfer's Bible, go get a surfer's Bible. If that's what makes you understand it. Here's the thing is, even when you struggle, we have more than just technology at our use. We have the greatest translation that we ever will need to understand this. And as the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch your mind. And share with you. And open up your mind to what God says. But more importantly, open in your heart to what God says. And take that truth and pour it into those that you have in your house. Those could be sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, grandsons, granddaughters. I think I hit everybody there. Pour into them God's truth. He will provide abundantly more than you realize you're capable of. Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful on this day, this Mother's Day. Thankful for moms pouring into our lives. Moms, grandmothers, aunts, the lady next door. Just pouring your truth into lives. Father, as we leave this place today, I ask you to go with us. Continue to draw us to you as we know that you are. That grace that comes before. That grace where you're reaching out to us. Draw us closer to you so that we can impact the young ones around us. Father, again, I'm thankful on this Mother's Day for the moms that we have. Father, touch each one of their lives. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that I pray these things. Amen.